our first reading from 1 John, the third chapter. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel from the 10th chapter of John.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It should not surprise us that our Lord says, I am the good shepherd, if you know the story of the Bible. The Bible is full of shepherd kings. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were all shepherds who were rulers and leaders of their people. And we get down to Moses, and we have more of the same. And then probably to top it all off in the Old Testament, we have, of course, King David, who was the ultimate shepherd king. The one who killed with his hands both lions and bears to protect the sheep. The one who took down Goliath the giant to protect the flock of Israel. And then because of all of this, we also have in the Psalms and the prophets another promise, and especially in Ezekiel, that one day God himself would come in the flesh and he would shepherd his people, that he would gather them, he would rescue them, he would feed them, he would protect them. And so Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am God who has come to rescue my sheep. And if he's a shepherd, that means then that we are the sheep. So why does the Bible call us sheep? Why is it fitting for us? Well, sheep are known for getting in a lot of trouble without their shepherds. They're known for wandering off, for becoming easy prey for predators, for getting sick and injured, getting stuck and trapped when they don't follow the shepherds. And so the Bible says of us, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own ways. In that same vein, the Bible uses the term lost sheep when we're apart from Christ. And the idea of lost throughout the Bible there isn't just lost as in misplaced, like I lost my keys. But the idea is perishing sheep. Sheep headed for destruction. That is us apart from Christ. And yet, for the Christian, there are still some temptations as his sheep. The temptation to listen to false shepherds, to false teaching, to be lured away and enticed away from the shepherd by our sin and evil desires. In whatever form it takes, we can slowly but surely wander away from the good shepherds. So Jesus wants us to examine ourselves, to see how we might be wandering away from him. So we have some ways we can check. Have we in our heads, with our hands, with our hearts, been wandering away from the good shepherds? Another way to think about that is, with our head is our doctrine. Am I believing what Jesus wants me to believe? With our hands, we can think about our duties, what God has given us to do each day. Am I doing the things he has called me to do? With the hearts, we can think about our devotion. What are we devoted to? Have we in thought, word, and deed wandered away from the good shepherd in our various vocations where God has placed us? So we're to ask ourselves these things, hopefully daily, to make sure we're not wandering too far from our shepherds. And that when we do, that we repent and return to him. Now, Jesus has a warning in this passage as well, besides that warning. The warning is about hired hands and the wolf. See, the context for this whole section of the Good Shepherd goes all the way back to John chapter 9, the first verse. There was a man born blind, and Jesus heals him. And then that man goes and tells everyone what Jesus did. And the rulers, the leaders of the people, rebuke him. They terrorize him. They make his life miserable. And finally, they excommunicate him from the synagogue. They kick him out completely. When he gets kicked out, Jesus finds him, and Jesus says, "It's okay. I've got you. I've got this under control." And then he rebukes the Pharisees and the leaders of the people. He says they're blind. And then it's right after that where he starts talking about them as thieves, as robbers, who sneak in and steal the sheep. And then he says that there's the wolf, the devil, and his apostles. And that the hired hands, the bad leaders, the bad pastors, the bad shepherds, they're just hired hands. They care nothing about Jesus. They care nothing about the truth. They don't care about faith. They do not care about the sheep. And so, when the wolf comes, when the wolf attacks, they run away. The hired hand only cares for himself. He doesn't care for the sheep. He sees himself as having no responsibility for them. If the sheep get devoured, what is that to him? The hired hand, the false pastor, the false leader, is in it for money, pride, power. So he's not going to endanger himself for the sheep, and he certainly won't die for the sheep. The false hired hand is going to cave to the whims of the culture, the crowd. He's going to do whatever it takes to have a lot of sheep, but he's just not going to care about them or feed them or protect them. It's in response to that, to these hired hands, these bad shepherds, that Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." It's one of the I am sayings of the Gospel of John. Jesus is claiming, going all the way back to Exodus and the burning bush, that he is the I Am. He is the Lord's in the flesh. So Jesus, as a good shepherd, he says that he lays down his life for the sheep. And he rises again for the sheep. He is the crucified and risen Lord's. He did not flee. He did not run. Rather, he laid down his life and died for all your sins. Then he took his life back up again, conquering death and the wolf. Just as David had conquered lion and bear and Goliath, so Jesus conquered these things in our place. Jesus alone is the true good shepherd and bishop of our souls. And he's the one who seeks you out when you're lost, when you're perishing. He's the one who comes after you to feed you, to rescue you, to guard you. He confronted sin and death and hell for his sheep, and he will not let any spiritual power or authority come between him and his blood-bought sheep. So Jesus watches over his sheep through means of his holy word. He says, his sheep hear his voice through his word, and they follow him wherever he leads. We heard Psalm 23 already in a couple different ways, and we'll hear it at least in one more different way. But I want us to reimagine it for a moment. Pastor Walter, several weeks ago, preached a fantastic sermon on Psalm 22. And we saw there that Jesus is the crucified and risen one. And then Psalm 23 follows on that. He's the crucified and risen shepherd. And what does he do? He says, because he's our good shepherd, we shall not lack anything. We shall not be in need. And then he makes us lie down in the green pastures of his word beside the still baptismal waters. That's how he feeds us. That's how he nourishes us. That's how he restores our souls. He leads you and guides you by his word and paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, because he has conquered death and the grave. So you don't have to fear any evil because the shepherd who has been there and done that goes through it with you. And then he says he prepares a table right here before you in the presence of your enemies. In the presence of sin and death and the devil, he prepares his holy supper to feed you his very body and blood. And then he promises that because of all of this, surely goodness and mercy will not just follow you, but pursue you, chase after you. Because he is a good shepherd who does that. And he says, then you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But that raises a question. How? How does he accomplish all these things for you when he is not here, locally present, in the flesh before you? How does he do all of this? Well, Jesus gives you under-shepherds. You see, Jesus does not promise these things in the abstract. It's just some kind of idea floating out in the air. These are a reality for you. A fleshly reality. Pastor just means shepherd. It's Latin. Jesus sends you under shepherds to give you these things that you might have all these gifts that he as a good shepherd wants to give you. So the Bible says a true good under shepherd is known both by their doctrine and their life. That is, they're to believe what Jesus wants them to believe and to live how Jesus wants them to live. So they are to strive to teach and live in accordance with God's words. So the Bible lays out all these qualifications for pastors. They must meet these qualifications to be a pastor. Now, certainly the pastor is never going to be exactly like Jesus. No one in here has ever had a perfect pastor. All of you have had sinful pastors, even down to this very moment. And yet, through these imperfect, sinful men, Jesus shepherds you. And so Jesus sends them to warn you about false teaching, about false doctrine, about false teachers. He sends them to teach you what is in his holy word, what you are to believe and confess. The pastor is to feed you what God has appointed. He is to feed you with word and sacraments, to give you both law and gospel. That means the pastor's not always going to tell you what you want to hear, but Lord willing, the pastor will tell you what you need to hear. That also means that the pastor is called to, at times, discipline the sheep, to chase after the sheep. And to the sheep, that can feel rather annoying at times. Why won't he just leave me alone? But the pastor isn't there to please men. He's there to rescue, to feed, and protect the sheep entrusted to his care. So if I could encourage you with something this morning, let your pastors do this for you. Let your pastors care for you. Let them lead you. Let them feed you. It starts by what you're already doing, being here in worship, by coming to Bible studies, by coming to the pastors when you have problems before those problems blow up to something bigger. Every pastor I talk to laments how many marriages could have been saved had the people come when the problem started rather than when they decided to get divorced. That's when people often come to the pastor. Things have already blown up, and then they come and say, this is what we're going to do. How many people have had doubts and struggles in their faith and wrestled through it on their own rather than going out and seeking spiritual help and counsel from the pastor God gave them? Come to your pastors with your problems before they devour you, before they get you. Let the pastor do what God has called him to do for you with those things. Jesus is the good shepherd. And because he is the good shepherd, he provides for you under shepherds, that they might feed you his word and his sacraments, that through them you might hear his voice from his holy words and follow him. In that way, Jesus will gather you, rescue you, feed you, and protect you. Amen. The peace of God passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.